It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4 to 1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be.
President Trump also said he blames Putin for election meddling and holds him responsible as Russia's leader. Earlier today, the president was asked if Russia ever stopped interfering.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
Correct. Let's go.
That no raised eyebrows because it's the opposite of what Director of National Intelligence Dan Coats said 2 days ago, that the Russian threat is ongoing. But the White House spokesperson claims the president's answer to the Russia question wasn't what it looked like.
I had a chance to speak with the president after his comments, and the president said thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions.
A reporter in the print pool disputes that clarification, writing, "Your pooler in a previous report today characterized it as Trump responding clearly to the reporter's question and in doing so claiming that the Russian government was no longer targeting. Your pooler stands by that report." Something more clear at that meeting, the president's more muscular rhetoric towards Moscow.
There's been no president ever as tough as I have been on Russia.
Earlier, the president pushed back on critics who panned his performance at a news conference with Putin, tweeting, "So many people at the higher ends of intelligence loved my press conference performance in Helsinki. Putin and I discussed many important subjects at our earlier meeting. We got along well, which truly bothered many haters who wanted to see a boxing match. Big results will come."
All right, that was Peter Doocy of Fox yesterday. And, of course, the saga continues because the press has smelled red meat. You know, the president backed up a little bit and altered his statement, trying to appease them. And, he doesn't generally do that, and it is a mistake, honestly. They're like, it's like throwing a bone to a dog. It's like they're worse. They're just worse because they're trying to get you. It's like, aha, we got you. And now they smell blood and they're going after it. So it's continuing. And Peter goes on to with this report because there's more. Here it is.
Now administration officials are complaining that progress made days ago on issues in North Korea, Syria, and Ukraine aren't being covered.
Why aren't you covering everything that actually matters between Russia and the U.S.? Excuse me, there's more than election meddling.
But Democrats who want to make sure that the president didn't make any deals with Putin in private are trying to haul the American translator who was in the room with the presidents to a public hearing. Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell writes, "We need public testimony by the only American present at this meeting to ensure Trump did not further undermine our intelligence or law enforcement communities." Democratic Senator Jeanne Shaheen elaborates further.
It's clear that there's no transcript, yet the Russians seem to know what was said and what was agreed to. I think it's important for Congress to know that as well. And so if the president is not going to share that with us, then the interpreter is the one in the room who may have some of that information.
The State Department is looking to see if a translator has ever testified like this before. Republicans don't think one should.
If there are any deals done, I want Pompeo to tell us about it. I don't need the translator. That's all politics. What I want is Congress working together, Team America on the field, not Republicans and Democrats.
We also learned this afternoon that the president is going to meet with his team to figure out whether or not the United States should honor a request by Moscow to let Russian authorities interrogate a handful of Americans that they think may have committed crimes in Russia. So far, though, Sarah Sanders says those are just conversations, no commitment.
All right. So there you go. Can you believe this? Now, the Congress is jumping in. Of course, it's the press and the Congress, the Democrats. Working in conjunction with one another to double down, and they're smelling blood. They think they have weakness here with the president. They think they're getting, gaining some ground. I mean, it was amazing. We played you those clips yesterday where they're saying it's Kristallnacht, it's Pearl Harbor, the president's press conference with Putin was, the worst disgrace and the most dangerous moment in history. I mean, really, it's ridiculous. And now think about that. They want the interpreter who was in the room in this private conversation. There's a Russian interpreter. They probably two interpreters. And President Trump and Vladimir Putin are having a private conversation. And now the Democrats actually think they have a right to depose the interpreter, to tattle on, you know, what was said in that meeting. We want to hear what was said in that meeting. You know, the president has every right to private conversations. How else can he negotiate? And you surely should never ask an interpreter to betray, you know, the people that she's interpreting for. These are highly, and interpreters are just people. They don't have necessarily political acumen or policy acumen. They just know the words. And so it's just a ridiculous and dangerous proposal. But somehow the left feels that they have a right. You remember the question that got the president in trouble was the two questions by the AP reporter. And the first one, let me just set the stage here. Recall that the press is beside themselves because President Trump did not call out Vladimir Putin on that stage. He didn't call him a name. He didn't accuse him. He was very diplomatic. And so they're demanding to know if he took him to task privately. They have to know. And of course, no matter what would happen, they wouldn't be satisfied. But the AP reporter then is one of those who feels like the president was just too easy on Vladimir Putin. And yet, when the AP reporter had a chance to question Vladimir Putin, what did he ask him? First of all, he asked him, what did President Trump say? Did President Trump bring up Crimea? Did he bring up Crimea to you? And secondly, do you have anything on him, any dirt on President Trump? So when the AP reporter himself had a chance to get Vladimir Putin, he was trying to get President Trump instead. It's as simple as that. Then CBS did an interview with the president. You heard a little bit of it in the opening report with Peter. But this is a little fuller piece of it. And I just find the hubris of expecting the president of the United States to tell him all of the things he asked. I want you to just listen, please.
You say you agree with U.S. intelligence that Russia meddled in the election in 2016.
Yeah, and I've said that before, Jeff. I have said that numerous times before. And I would say that that is true, yeah.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
What'd you say to him?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have meddling, we can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement, you know, President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. What they did hear is the statement he made to Putin's very close friend. And that statement was not acceptable.
Yeah, actually, we have that statement. And let's listen. I played it yesterday. This is what President Obama whispered to Medvedev. That was during his, I think it's right before his second election. And this really was disgraceful, and yet it got no coverage, maybe except at Fox. This is clip 10. Let's listen.
My last election.
Basically, yeah.
After my election, I have more flexibility.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand. I transmit this information to Vladimir and understand with me.
After my election, I'll have more flexibility. And he's leaning over close to Medvedev. And Medvedev says, I understand. I will transmit that to Vladimir. And then he said, I stand with you. So that's the conversation that we know, that he thought it was off mic, but the mic was hot. And so, but nobody in the press cared about that. And yet it was very, very critical. It was about nuclear weapons, nuclear capabilities. So just give me a little time and work with me here. Let me get elected again, and then I'll have more flexibility. In other words, I'll be a lame duck president. And then I can do things that are even more outrageous. I mean, I'm putting words into his mouth, but I don't know how else you could interpret what he said. All right, so this CBS reporter, what did you say to him? See, they think they deserve to know, but the president obliged, and I want you to know that in a press, well, I don't know that it was supposed to be a press conference. It was a reporter shouting out questions yesterday, as they always do. This is what the president said, probably as well as anybody I have done with Russia, and there's never been a president as tough as I have been. And then he goes on to make the claim. And nobody doubts, nobody disputes the evidence here. He's brought strict sanctions, more than Barack Obama. He's expelled multiple Russian diplomats, more than Barack Obama ever expelled, and he has closed Russian embassies in the United States. Also, recently, there was in Syria, there was a huge battle between American forces and Russian forces, and Americans killed about 200 Russian soldiers. They're mercenaries, I think. But this is just that's what has been happening under President Trump. He has been, and as I say to you always, look at what a man does, not what he says. Look at what a man does and not what he says. And then I have an interesting article here that I want to share with you. This is written by George Rasley. And it says, why should Trump pick a fight with Putin over failures of Obama, Clapper, Strzok, and Brennan? President Trump's statement about the poor state of U.S.-Russian relations, he says, I hold both countries responsible. I think the United States has been foolish. I think we've been foolish. We should have had this dialogue a long time ago, frankly, before I got to office. And I think we're all to blame. Seems to have sent, that was the statement he made. And George says, that seems to have sent the establishment media and the never Trump crowd into Chicken Little level fits of hysteria never seen in American politics or media. Pearl Harbor, Kristallnacht, and treason were just a few of the insane comparisons Democrats and never-Trump Republicans have made to denigrate the president's performance. Keep in mind what all the hysteria is obfuscating is that President Trump did discuss Russian interference in our election with President Putin. He said, during today's meeting, I addressed directly with President Putin the issue of Russian interference in our elections. I felt this is a message best delivered in person. We spent a great deal of time talking about it. But I guess we can't take him at his word, right? So that's what they're actually saying. How we don't really know that that actually happened. I heard someone say that last night. So George goes on to say, what those who are demanding that Trump believe and defend the American intelligence community are asking is that he defend the failures of his predecessors. And even more bizarrely, that they would require him to believe and defend the very people who have been proven to have lied, who tried to defeat him during the election, have been working to undermine and even overthrow him once he was elected. So, you know, that's the point I was making to you yesterday. Do you trust Vladimir? The question was, do you trust your intelligence agencies or Vladimir Putin? And I think the way to have to think about that is, do you trust your Peter Strzok or Vladimir Putin? Do you trust James Comey or Vladimir Putin? Do you trust, Andrew McCabe? You could just fill in the blank. John Brennan. More, or do you trust Vladimir Putin? And that's a Sophie's choice. Man, that's a no-win. And he, you know, it was hard for him to answer that. But I think he actually gave a pretty good answer. But what George is pointing out, he's talking about the intelligence agencies prior to his administration. And I would argue and have to you many times that a lot of those people are still in place. I would say most of them, actually. The deep state is still very much there. Those agencies haven't been purged of Obama appointees. They haven't. And still, at some of the top levels, I heard yesterday that John Kelly, and I'm not saying John is John, I think, is, I don't know what he is. Let's just say he doesn't really support his president as much as I think he should. He actually called Republicans to get them to speak out against the president on his statements in Helsinki. So I, you know, that's his chief of staff. With friends like that, you say. So, but, you know, here's what I'm interested in, because actually I was talking to someone at the White House yesterday, and I was trying to convey how some of us have a different point of view. So I'd be curious to know what you think. You've been saturated with this stuff now for 2-3 days, and I just want to know what your observations are about it. It would be great to talk to you about that. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. What do the people think about the Helsinki press conference and about the response of the media and the pundits and the Republicans, too? Maybe you see it the same way they do. So let's talk. 888-589-8840 is the number. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for a healthcare plan, or more importantly, if you signed up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have hundreds of thousands of members all across the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2.5 billion of each other's medical bills. Best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings may be less or more, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. Just hit **345. That's **345. **345.
What if I told you that you could clean your family's laundry and help reach the next generation at the same time? That opportunity is here through a company called Redeem Clean. Every time you use Redeem Clean products, you help support the ministry of the American Family Association. In addition to your regular AFA giving, Redeem Clean laundry detergent allows you to increase your support of AFA just by continuing to wash your family's clothes. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made in the USA. And they were developed exclusively for the support of the American Family Association. For clean laundry and support of a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Learn more, find options, and order Redeem Clean products at afastore.net. That's afastore.net.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Truett McConnell University.
My name is Paul Kizito. I'm a junior biology major here at Truett McConnell, and I came from Uganda. What I love about TMU is number one is the heart of, you know, of just the school and the love for God, for Christ. You can see it once you step on the campus. Like, you can see it's best, like, the foundation for TMU is Christianity.
Are you called? Visit truett.edu today.
Congresswoman Maxine Waters told Americans to harass members of the Trump administration in the public square. Washington Post columnist Jen Rubin said Trump supporters should be made to feel uncomfortable. And it appears the far left has embraced those edicts. The latest to be bullied and badgered, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and former White House advisor Steve Bannon. Bannon was inside a Virginia bookshop when he was accosted by a screaming woman. McConnell was ambushed coming out of a Kentucky diner. The menacing crowd shouted they knew where McConnell lived. And in Long Island, New York, a man was arrested after threatening to kill supporters of President Trump and Republican Congressman Lee Zeldin. I've said many times in this commentary, the Democrats have to turn down the rhetoric. Sadly, those calls have gone unheeded, and this nation is one step closer to political anarchy. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
I do have confidence in our intelligence agencies as currently constituted. I think that Dan Coats is excellent. When they tell me something, it means a lot.
Do you think any intelligence agencies, U.S. intelligence agencies, are out to get you?
Well, certainly in the past, it's been terrible. You look at Brennan, you look at Clapper, you look at Hayden, you look at Comey, you look at McCabe, you look at Strzok and his lover, Lisa Page. You look at other people in the FBI that have been fired, that are no longer there. Certainly, I can't have any confidence in the past, but I can have a lot of confidence in the present and the future. But in the past, no, I have no confidence in a guy like Brennan. I think he's a total lowlife.
All right, well, that's the president. And I think he's right about John Brennan. I told you many, many, many times that he was a let's just say a communist sympathizer, if not more, even back in 1980 when the presidential election took place. And he was not a young man, younger than he is now. But when he should have known better, he voted for the Communist Party candidate. That's pretty scary. And there are a lot more things about John Brennan we could say. But I want to, just for a second, that article I was reading about why should Trump pick a fight with Putin over the failures of Obama, Clapper, Strzok, and Brennan. That article by George Rasley. We're going to put that on our Facebook page. Hey, let me just say something about the Facebook page. You all probably are aware that Facebook has started sort of, well, let's see, how can I say this? Limiting the reach of conservative outlets. And so what happens is when conservatives in media or whatever somehow identified as having conservative content, you think you're posting it and it gets posted on your site, but it does not go into the feeds of the other people who are used to getting, you know, your Facebook pages or your Facebook articles. And so I guess I could suggest that if you know, we post some really good things, we don't overwhelm you, but we always post some important articles. And if you want to make sure that you see what we post every day, you probably should just go to the Sandy Rios in the Morning Facebook page and don't expect it's going to come in your feed because it's not. I don't think we've had several people tell us that it's not coming. And I can also tell by the numbers on Facebook that, you know, the responses and all of that are down. They used to be a whole lot higher. Sometimes we'd have 10,000 people weighing in. So, and that's been happening since January. That's when they changed their policy. So all that to say, if you want to find out what we have posted every day, you should go directly to our Facebook page. And just remember, it's not going to be in your feed. I mean, there may be some exceptions. You know, it's kind of unscientific. But anyway, all right. So I really do want to know what you think about what's going on. As a, you know, a citizen living and working, doing your life, and then watching television, watching this thing unfold out of Helsinki, this latest dust up, we should say, with the media, where they pounce and they're like a rabid mob. You've been watching this, and I want to know what your thoughts are about it. So, and especially if you really are concerned about the president, you don't have to agree with me. Absolutely. And that would be an interesting conversation if you didn't. So, let's go to Kyle in Mississippi. Good morning, Kyle.
Hi. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess the only thing I wish that had been a little different, I think when you meet, you know, two guys like this meet, he had to give him something. But I just wish he had not brought our intelligence agency in. I think he could have just simply said something like, you know, Vladimir Putin has assured me we've not meddled at this moment. I can just take him at his word. You know, however, we'll continue to look into this, and we'll ask him to verify the old Reagan thing, trust but verify.
Kyle, did you watch the exchange? Did you watch that
a little bit?
Well, you know that was the AP reporter's question. Who do you trust, your intelligence agencies or Vladimir Putin? And remember, this is off the cuff. It's not, you know, it's not scripted. You don't know what question you're going to get. And so that's the reason he basically, and you know, he did say in that statement, I do support our intelligence agents. That's agencies. But they distorted really what he said even then. But the AP reporter was setting him up.
I agree with that. You know, and most of us that support him, you know, you just filter through all that. That's just what you have to do.
Yeah, but Kyle, you know, the intelligence agencies are so corrupt. They still are. That's the part
Yes.
So it really, I mean, honestly, who do you trust? Peter Strzok or Vladimir Putin? Who do you
was it Rosenstein that gets Sessions to recuse himself? I mean,
no, it wasn't Rosenstein. It was someone else. But it was something. Okay. It was the Obama appointee who persuaded him to do that. Yeah.
Right.
So you got that, and then you got the CIA, which was John Brennan's baby up until the president took over, and you got all of the personnel that are still in place. There have been no purges. There's some. There is some legislation that is being bandied about in D.C. to change the rules for federal employees to be able to fire them, and so that's one way that people are trying to fight back here. But anyway,
well,
Kyle,
we can sure use a good round of that.
Isn't that the truth? Isn't that the truth?
Well, enjoy talking with you, Sandy.
Okay, Kyle. Thanks. I appreciate your comments. Let's go to Kathy in North Carolina. Good morning.
Good morning. You're the most informative speaker on the radio.
Oh, thank you.
I saw the episode, all of it, and he's not as polished as some, and we know that, but it didn't bother me at all. In fact, I don't trust a lot of the people that are in the CIA and FBI for a long time, and maybe we should start chanting at rallies in the future elections. Instead of lock her up, maybe we should say lock them up, at least get them out. Like you say, we've got to purge those people out. We know we can't trust them. But as far as his speech, his answers to things, I wasn't even bothered by Wood. I mean, and I wonder, why would? I think if Hillary had won, Putin would have said that he wanted her to win. I mean, because why would he want to support Trump?
Yeah, really. I mean, it's true, especially, you know, and Trump is, he's tough. He's been tough with all of these world leaders, from Kim Jong-un to the leaders of the EU to NATO. You know, he's been tough, and he's put his money where his mouth is. So Putin knows that. He's dealing, they're actually two strong men when it comes to wielding their resources to do something to help their own countries. They're pretty equally matched, I think. And so, no, Hillary wouldn't be that way. Hillary was a Russian. I mentioned that she oversaw the sale of a great deal of our uranium supply to Russia. They received hundreds of thousands of dollars from Russians to the Clinton Foundation while she was Secretary of State. So, no, I kind of think that she has a more, cozy relationship with the Russians than President Trump ever had. And so it's a mystery, and I think that we'll eventually, God willing, we'll know what the real truth and the whole truth is, Kathy, in due time. Actually, I should mention at this point, it looks like Lisa Page, who was the lover to Peter Strzok, has testified behind closed doors for 2 days now, and it looks like she may be turning on her former bosses, Strzok, McCabe, and even Comey. That's kind of I can't say that we don't know for sure, but that's what I'm hearing. And so, man, we might learn a lot of stuff from her that would fill in some of the blanks on this stuff. So anyway, Kathy, I'm glad you watched it. That's the thing I think that bothers me. People are busy and they don't have time to watch. A lot of them don't. And then they just take everything, the news media, the interpretation of the media, which they shouldn't do if they could, unless it's an outlet that you really trust. And again, like I said, even on Fox, you can't trust every host. You have to figure out whose judgment you think is good. But anyway, Kath, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Let's go to Doug in Missouri. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
Good morning. Oh, Doug, you got digitized here. Can you move across the room or do something?
How's that?
Oh, that's much better.
Okay. I just wanted to say God bless you and your beacon of light. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
Our country is in a turmoil right now, and Mr. Trump is doing a fantastic job, and the things that Hillary and Barack Obama have done to this nation, I think we're headed to war, and there's a lot of rats that's infiltrated into our government. I'm getting emotional. Sorry.
Well, that's because you love your country, I'm thinking.
Yes, and I love you, too. You are my nation.
Well,
everything
you
say in the morning is just, I agree with that 100% of it. We're going to go to war someday here in this country. There's elements that they've got the control of the reins, and they're trying to make our president look bad. They're doing everything they can. Barack Obama got away with murder in that country, and they never questioned him one time what he did. The Fast and Furious and the IRS scandals, and then it just goes on and on and on with the money to Iran.
Yes.
It just... Why hasn't this man been brought to trial?
Well, there was some discussion about that this morning, even. Like, that's the big elephant in the room, you know. In fact, Lisa Page, in one of her emails to Peter Strzok, said POTUS wants to know everything we're doing. So President Obama knew about all of the things that the FBI was doing. Well, at least if they did what he asked them to do, which I bet he did. And so, it's a very interesting, curious situation, Doug. And, you know, speaking of Iran, that's the other thing that President Trump did that was really tough. He blew out the Iranian deal, said, we're not doing that anymore. And, of course, Russia is a strong ally of Iran. And that was a very big deal. So that's another tough decision that President Trump made that was the right decision. It's another case of him doing what's right. He may stumble. He may not be, you know, I think at that press conference on, Monday. I've lost track of the days here, Tuesday maybe. I don't think he was as articulate as I have seen him in the past. He's never articulate, but he seemed very tired. But heavens, why wouldn't he be tired? Why wouldn't he be tired? He's 72 years old. He's traveling like crazy. He's wearing the weight of the world on his shoulders. And I thought if I was going to play that press conference yesterday, I just wanted people to actually hear what he had to say. And we put that on our Facebook page, and we'll put it on again today so that people can actually hear and then make up, assess for themselves what they think he said and if he performed as poorly as the press is dying to have you believe. Doug, thanks. I appreciate your concern for the country, and thanks for your kind words. Let's go to Shelley in Arkansas. Hey, Shelley.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
I'm good.
Are you ready for me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, I just heard. Okay. My comment is that I'm so proud of our president, and I trust him. He has more than proven himself already to be a hard worker for us. And like I go to my job every day to earn my living, he is earning our trust by how hard he's working. And I think he's exposing that all of those others that haven't done anything all these years except take pay from us, take our taxes. He's proving and exposing all of that, and the more he exposes, the louder they're going to scream. And I think that's what they're mad about, is because he's exposing all that they were able to hide for all these years.
Well, that's true. Absolutely true, Shelley. And one thing that I haven't had a chance to talk about on the air, which I won't do today, but I think next week, this is a bill that will be proposed in the House and in the Senate. You know, I can't remember the name of the bill. There's a name, Merit Act or something like that. But it will give the agencies the ability to fire federal workers that are not performing. And also just that are subversive, whatever. I mean, it will help the president and his agencies purge these really bad people. And the other thing is that the president made a decision, he's made a lot of decisions that have hurt labor. I'm talking about bad labor. We all know that there are good people who belong to unions, and there's a need sometimes for collective bargaining. So I don't hate unions. I hate corruption in unions. And so he's been fighting against that too. Yeah, so the power base is just being, I heard that as a result of the Supreme Court's decision last week, that the NEA has lost like half of their income because members are withdrawing. They don't want to pay dues to the NEA. And the same thing with some of the other unions. And we'll talk about that next week. So you bet he is shaking the tree big time. And it's like they have to kill him. I'm not saying that literally, although I worry for him. I don't think the press is going to, pull a gun. But if they could just kill him, his reputation, and destroy him in such a way that he has to step down, wear him out, they will do that. Because this is their last chance to do it. So they're getting louder and more howling. All right. Thank you so much, Shelley. Appreciate your comments. We'll be right back after this. And by the way, the phone number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Sandy Rios in the morning with you.
Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. At the height of a Holy Spirit outpouring in Samaria, where the gospel was being preached with great power and droves of people were converting to follow Christ, the Lord instructed Philip to leave Samaria and head south to Gaza. Philip didn't know a divine appointment awaited him. Through his ministry to the Ethiopian eunuch, the gospel would spread to Africa. He left the crowd to serve one. I call this step-down faith. It's easy to step up for the attention and applause of the masses, but do we have step-down faith?
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
You wish you could stop thinking about it, but you can't. It never quite leaves your thoughts. Even in the joyful moments, it's there. The sadness, shame, and sorrow. You know you can't go on like this, so don't. Phone the International Helpline for Abortion Recovery at 866-482-LIFE. Your call is confidential, and you'll be talking with someone who's already been where you are and found the way out. 866-482-LIFE.
Culture is a product of us being placed in a particular location, and it is God's desire that his light bearers would culture or cultivate a particular area.
Join Abraham Hamilton III as he presents the biblical case for cultural engagement. It's a powerful video resource from the American Family Association's Cultural Institute series.
You and I create the culture of our country.
Visit afastore.net.
Hi, I'm Will Addison.
And I'm Miki.
From Airing the Addisons on Urban Family Talk.
We'd like to invite you to the Marriage, Family, and Life Conference coming up August 17th and 18th.
The list of speakers is amazing. We have Ryan Baumberger of the Radiance Foundation, Dr. Clarence Shuler of Building Lasting Relationships, Abraham Hamilton III, Pastor Bert Harper and his wife Jan, Stacy Washington, Lonnie Poindexter, Pastor Dexter Sanders, and we'll be there too.
There's a direct attack by the enemy on marriage and family, and babies in the womb are treated like political footballs instead of life. We want to encourage and equip the body of Christ to fight for the restoration of the family. If we can get our families on track, a lot of society's problems could be solved. The Marriage, Family, and Life Conference is from Urban Family Communications, a division of the American Family Association. You can learn more and register at Urban Family Talk.
This is Frank Affney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Amidst the political jockeying in Washington to establish which party is more hostile to Vladimir Putin's Russia, an even more ominous threat is getting scant attention. Fortunately, the fact that communist China has actually been waging, quote, unrestricted warfare, unquote, against the United States for decades is the focus of an important congressional hearing today. For the second time in recent months, House Intelligence Committee Chairman Devin Nunes will conduct an unclassified review of China's hostile actions. Today's topic is how the PRC has long been waging economic war against us and the damage it has done to our trade balance, industrial base, commercial and state secrets, and national security. The hearing is particularly timely in light of President Trump's efforts to use tariffs, investment restrictions, and other measures to fight back. It may be one of our last chances to do so. This is Frank Affney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President? Press, let's go. Make your way out.
No, you don't believe
that to be the case. Let's go.
The president said thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
What'd you say to him?
Very strong on the fact that we can't have meddling, we can't have any of that. Now, look, we're also living in a grown-up world. Will a strong statement, you know,
President Obama supposedly made a strong statement. Nobody heard it. What they did hear is the statement he made to Putin's very close friend. And that statement was not acceptable. I let him know we can't have this. We're not going to have it. And that's the way it's going to be.
All right. So there you go. Just a repeat of a few things, but just to remind you, this is so what'd you say to him? What did you say to him? And that back, you know, in that 2-hour session with Vladimir Putin, it's supposed to be confidential. What'd you say to him? And so that's the press right now. All right. I want to know what you think, though. I really do. I appreciate having your feedback because you've been, this is our country. And as we watch all of this, we're all in this together. And this is a case where you have a vested interest. And it's very interesting to me to hear what your take is on all of it. Let's go to Kim in Texas. Good morning, Kim.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Thanks for taking my call and thanks for all you do.
Oh, thank you.
My point is, I think Trump didn't do anything wrong other than backing down to the media and changing his statement a little bit. I don't think he should trust the people that we've got right now and that we've had running the agency. I don't trust them. And I don't think he trusts Putin, but I don't think he trusts Brennan and all of those folks either. So I think Trump is trying. I think Trump loves his country and he loves his grandkids and he's trying to get things straight before his kids have to deal with all of this. But my point that I desperately want somebody on the radio to do is the Mueller probe needs to go away. It's crazy. It's bull. It needs to go away. And I think if somebody could post daily how much we have spent of our money on something that we all don't want, that the people would get in an outrage. But I never hear how much has been spent on it.
Well, you can actually access that. I've heard it a number, but I can't right now. I don't know what it is, but I know it's a lot. And I know the
but
last time he
put in front of the American people every day. And then they, yeah. Because I hear it every once in a while, but to me, that's very important and should be put in front of the people every day to where they would make this stop.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice if it did? Actually, Kim, hang on. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to tell you something about that investigation that's a little bit new. So thanks, Kim. I appreciate those good thoughts. Here's the thing. You know that Bob Mueller, the special counsel, has Paul Manafort in solitary confinement, 23 out of 24 hours. Now, Paul Manafort is being held because of financial dealings, nothing to do with Russia and interference or collusion. It's something about his own finances and his dealings in the past. And in the past, he actually worked for John and Tony Podesta. And if that's familiar to you, the Podesta brothers are legends in D.C. And I'd say legends for not a good reason. John Podesta is the head of American Progress, and that's the think tank that comes up with all the strategies for the left, how to implement them. And John Podesta, it was his email that were leaked by WikiLeaks, and we found out in those email that he was up to no good. He was having reporters from all these major outlets into his home cooking dinner for them. During the campaign, he was the campaign manager for Hillary Clinton. So this is happening when he was their campaign manager. He's, you know, buddying up. And, of course, he didn't have to work at it too much. They happily came to his house. And then it's him and his brother that, remember me talking to you about the spirit dinners? There's some really, really wicked stuff with the Podesta brothers. And the spirit dinners are these, I'm not even going to tell you, but let me just say, sort of a satanic, it's just so bizarre. They are into some really, really dark stuff. And so, but now here's the thing. I'm reading today that it looks like, again, John and Tony Podesta both have millions of dollars of investments in Russia. They deal with them all the time. Just a very cozy relationship. And again, John was the campaign manager for Mrs. Clinton. So now we're hearing that Mueller is suspected of giving that John and Tony Podesta immunity in order to indict Paul Manafort. So wants them to come, and he's giving them immunity. This is what we believe. This is the report. Looks like we'll know for sure soon. But that Mueller is going to give them immunity. These guys who are up to their ears in Russian dealings and doing the same thing Paul Manafort, whatever he was doing, and they're going to now test. It looks as though they're going to testify against him and have immunity. Yeah, and they're both, you know, a Democratic, like I said, icons. Really weird guys. So Manafort is in solitary confinement for 23 hours a day. This is just bizarre. And then he's going to give immunity to the Podesta brothers to testify against Manafort. It's just the whole world has gone crazy. And certainly, you know, I can still remember all of the Republicans telling us, at least many of them, how much integrity Bob Mueller has. Why he's just he's so much integrity. Of course, we knew better than that. So you've heard me discuss it with my husband on the air. He worked for him, and he didn't think that. And lots of people don't think that. When you review his history as an attorney, he's done some really bad things. He has a record, history of destroying people in ways he didn't have to. And he has hired 13 attorneys who are all Democratic donors. Some of them are real rabidly Hillary Clinton donors, Barack Obama donors, all 13, no Republicans. And does anybody think there might be a problem with that? Then we have James Comey coming out texting yesterday, who was Bob Mueller's protege. They're very close friends, telling the world that Americans should vote Democratic now. Mr. Nonpartisan, no, I didn't want to get political in the election. And then whose wife and daughters were in the Women's March, participated in the Women's March around the inaugural in Washington, D.C. So now at least he's coming out honest. But that's how bizarre and unfair, unjust. You know, this is an injustice, and I think that's what bothers so many of us. It's just unjust. And we can't make everything right in this world and in this life. There are a lot of injustices. We can just pray that God will, you know, exalt the, break the pride and proud and exalt the humble, because that's what he promises he will do. And I think he will sometimes in this life, and I guess maybe sometimes in the next life. But he will be a God of justice, and there will be justice at some point. I'm just not sure we're going to see it in this life, but I hope so. All right, let me go to Ari in North Carolina. Good morning, Ari.
Yeah. Good morning, Sandy.
How are you?
I just wanted to put a little good. I'm good. Good. God is good.
Yes, he is.
So we're good.
Yes, exactly. The good, very profound and true.
Amen. You know, whatever happens, we're in his hands. However,
yes,
we're here to stand for the truth. And the truth is that President Trump is light years ahead of his predecessor. Obama started his administration with a world apology tour. After 9/11 and the Saudis, it was all Saudis, 13 Saudis who knocked down the World Trade Center and hit the Pentagon. He went to Saudi Arabia, bowed down and kissed the ring of the King of Saudi Arabia, and then apologized for us. He apologized just about for everything America's ever done, whether it was in the EU or in this hemisphere at the in South America. His speeches were condemning the United States of America, and he fell asleep at the wheel. The situation in the Pacific is atrocious. China has taken the islands of the Philippine Islands.
Yeah.
They've created islands in the South China Sea, and they're about to invade Taiwan. Because Obama just let them go. So compare President Trump to his predecessor, and you'll see a terrific contrast.
Yeah, absolutely, Ari. That's a very, and there's a lot more to say. There's a lot more things you could say. You know that too. The President Obama really systematically dismantled democratic principles, and I mean the good ones. and the Constitution. He did everything he could. Appointed judges that were terrible. He was proactive in a lot of these things. He was proactive on gay rights. Remember the White House being draped, you know, lit with rainbow colors the day gay marriage passed. He did so many horrible things. And I think that you're right. This president is doing so many wonderful things. And yet he is really challenging the power base in Washington on the right and on the left. And they can't stand it. They can't let this stand. And so they have to stop him. And that's what they're trying to do. So, Ari, I appreciate your perspective because, again, I'm trying to figure out how, if people, people living regular, normal lives, how they're responding. Let me ask you this. Have you been watching the news? I'm sure. Has it tainted your view of what he did in Helsinki, or do you think they're justified in at least some of their criticisms?
Well, you know what? He's not a professional politician. He's not a smooth-tongued deceiver like some people I know. And number one, we need to gird him up with prayer. And coming from a Jewish background, he has stood with Israel as no other president had. Barack Obama sent American power and money and personnel to interfere with the election in Israel.
Yes, that's right.
You know, he got the pass. But President Trump, regardless of his personal past, he's tough. And if we gird him with prayer, he will get through this.
Yeah. Well, I'm with you on that, Ari, and I do pray for him. I pray for him all the time. I just can't bear what I think he's bearing. It just seemed, again, so unjust. He doesn't have to do this. He's a billionaire. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't need this. And he's doing it out of love for country. I believe that, too. Why else would you do it? And why would you put up with this nonsense? He doesn't have to put up with this. But he's putting up with it because he's trying to make America great again, to coin a phrase. Okay, Ari, listen, I got to move on here, but thank you so much, and it's great to talk to you. Let's go to Melanie in Tennessee. Good morning, Melanie.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. A lot of the things that were just said has changed what I wanted to say right quick. Praise God that we are able to have this conversation, because if Hillary had won, I don't think we would be able to have this conversation. I don't know that your radio program would even exist today. So
that's true.
That's
very true.
I think that the press would have swung it the other way had he got in and said something confrontational. I think he was very diplomatic. I believe that he is a modern-day Moses. I feel like his people are us. He trusts in us. He doesn't trust in the politicians and the Congress and the Senate. He is doing what he thinks the will of the people is. He remembers when America was great. He and his family benefited from America being great. He is a prime example of what you can do when America is what is America supposed to be. And I think that as American people, as Christians, I think that a lot of people, this was not their first choice for the candidacy for the presidency. And that now that he is in office, like myself, I was for a Ted Cruz fan, but President Trump is the man who should have got this position. I believe God's hand is in it. He is the man who can turn it around because he has such a love and a belief and knows how it should operate. And I think that as Christians, we are bound to pray for him. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we cannot rest. We have to be behind him and pray that what he says, he's seeking counsel, and he is. I think that he is coming to a day in his later years where he is just learning. He is a new Christian. He is a babe in Christ, and he is asking advice, and praise God for that.
Yes, for sure, Melanie. Thank you very much. Interesting. I mean, we don't know about his... I always hesitate to make any declarations about his faith. I would say, you know, you have to look at evidence, and the evidence shows that he does not... He doesn't have the same attitude he had when he was running for president. He was pretty obnoxious sometimes. And I know people think he's obnoxious now. I do think he's really pulled back. He just is honest. He's just blunt and honest about how he feels. And again, as Ari said, he's not a polished politician. He's not a smooth talker. And so, how refreshing that is. Again, if you are confused about this or have some questions, you should watch the press conference. Listen to President Trump and then fast forward to the end and listen to the reporter question from AP. And just that's what they really hung him on, was those two questions. All right, Sandy Rios in the morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.